Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good to us. Amen. And He has been good to us. Before we go very much farther, let us take a look at the text for today, if you will. Matthew, the 27th chapter and verse number 19. And the Bible says, When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. This morning, for a subject, we want to take a message from his wife. A message from his wife. But before we go further, let us take a moment, go to God in prayer. O righteous and mighty Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of your blessings that you have given us. Thank you for the sun coming up this morning, for the moon going down this morning that we may have that sunshine. Thank you for the stars that shone so brightly on last night. Thank you for the sleep that you provided for us. Thank you for the roof over our heads. Thank you for the food that went into our bodies. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we have been blessed enough. We had clothes to put on that we may come out to your house, O Lord. Thank you this morning, Father, for the churches of Christ all over the world, but especially, Father, those that are doing your will, and in particular, this local congregation here. We pray for the leaders and their families this morning. We pray this morning for those who have been serving you this morning, those who have led songs, those who have read scriptures, those who have prayed, and we're praying for those who shall continue on after this point, from this point and further on, O Lord. We thank you, Father, and we pray for those men as well as their families also. Thank you this morning, Father, for those who are sick, and we know that there are many who are sick. We have been asked this morning to remember those in our prayer that we know of. We are praying for Brother Kevin Washington Watson. We are praying for Sister Watson's sister, Bobby Brown, who had a massive heart attack, and we're just praying, O Lord, that you be with these families and these people. And we're praying for Brother Charles Robinson as he continues to see a doctor on his condition. We ask you, Father, to be with all of those. We're praying for Sister Porter, who has lost a loved one, and we're just praying that Sister Porter has made her rounds, made her trip safely, and we're praying that she gets back safely as well. We're praying for anybody that I didn't call their names, but we're still praying for them just as well, O Lord, for you already know who they are. We're praying this morning now, O Lord, that you be with this entire congregation. We're praying for the sick, the shut in, those who are downtrodden, and those who are just emotionally not well, O Lord. We're just praying that you bring them back if it be your will. We're praying for those, Father, who may be out of town today. We're just praying that if it be your will, that you would give them safe passage that they may also return. We're praying this morning, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this world in which we live. We just pray, O Lord, from time to time that they would make the right decisions and not bind us with any kind of regulations or rules or laws that would prevent us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray and thank you that one day your Son went to the cross that we may have this opportunity that has been presented to us today. We're praying for those who are without this morning and praying, if it be your will, that their needs can be fulfilled, O Lord. Then, Father, when we have done all that we can do, when we have walked the last mile of the way, when it has been called, our name has been called out, O Lord, we're just praying for a home with thee. These and all blessings we're asking in your Son Jesus' name. Let us say amen. This morning, from that scripture, as I said, Matthew 27 and verse number 19, a message from his wife. Most Christians are aware of the events of the trial of Jesus. We know, or we should know, that it was held in Jerusalem. We know that Jesus was bound and brought before Pilate because of the accusations of the chief priests and the elders of the people. These things we understand because as Christians we have studied and read of these events. We have read about them in Matthew the 27th chapter and Mark the 15th chapter and Mark the 15th chapter and in John the 18th chapter as well as in the book of Luke. These are facts that are a part of the Christian experience. These are things that the Christian experience teaches us. But today I want us to see the ordeal from another perspective. That is from the wife, from the eyes and minds of a woman, namely Pilate's wife. Now I know and I understand that some men, even Christian men, have assumed that the woman in no way can ever know more than I know. But let's look at what transpired in the Bible's account. First of all, I want us to find out who the husband was. In the book of Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse number 1, let's start with 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. We learn the status of Pilate, that he was the governor. And we all know what a governor does or what he is in the case of biblical times. He was given authority to rule over people and or places and things. He was a ruler, as we know, is in charge of something or someone or some people. He was given this authority to rule over these people, and he was given a title, and the title could have been, in biblical times, it could have been prime minister, as Joseph was. It could have been the governor of the feast, as in John chapter 2, around verse number 8. But here in the case of Pilate, his Roman title was procurator. He was the governor of Judea. For all the power he had as a ruler, he could not see what his wife saw. Men, sometimes we need to listen rather than to speak when our wives are talking. God has provided us our wives as a helpmeet. Way back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, God decided that it was not good for man to be alone. And I know what some of us are thinking, what some of us as men say. For all the good it does, her being my helpmeet, I may as well be by myself. But that's another story. Pilate was a man who had the power to make decisions. And he knew Jesus was innocent, but he did not want to make that decision all by himself. He didn't want to free Jesus because he didn't have the nerve or the courage. He left it to the Jews in John 18 and verse number 31. He said, you judge according to your laws. But the Jews, also being good at passing the buck, they said unto him, we don't have the authority to put a man to death. Then Pilate put it in Herod's hand in Luke chapter 23. And that didn't work. Then he asked the question in Luke chapter 23, what evil has he done, speaking of Jesus? I find no cause to put him to death. Finally, in Matthew chapter 27, in verse number 16, around verse 16 and 17, he put the decision, he asked the question of the others. He said, would you rather I release Barabbas or Jesus? Something can be said when a man can't make up his own mind about his own responsibility. That's something that we must understand, that when you have responsibility, you must take them seriously. Sometimes it makes sense to listen to what your helpmeet has to say. And in many cases, she may be wiser than we are. And I know you won't, men, you won't say amen to that. But sometimes the woman knows things that we don't know. Sometimes we must listen to our wife. But now we know who Pilate was, who was his wife. We must realize that first and foremost, she was a wife concerned about her husband's actions. She did not send a message to the judge nor to the governor, but she sent it to her husband, who happened to be the governor and at that time the judge of Jesus. We can be sure it was his wife because the Bible tells us that it was from his wife. And secondly, we can tell by the content of the message. Watch verse number 19 of Matthew 27. It says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying,
Have thou nothing to do with that just man? Now, who was that just man? That just man was Jesus Christ. Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Men, you got to hear her sometimes when she's... Women by nature are natural born talkers, so we need to hear what they have to say. Now, there's not a lot said about this woman in the Bible, but one thing is for certain. When she spoke, she had something to say. She said more in one verse than Pilate said in many verses. And I'm a firm believer that when a person speaks, they should have something to say. Isn't that right, church? So she said, have nothing to do with that just man. Have nothing to do with that just man. What was a just man? That means he was a righteous man. He didn't do anything. But yet Pilate couldn't make up his mind on what to do. Many men spend an entire lifetime and don't say or stand up for Jesus as much as this woman did in one biblical verse. And I don't know what it is, but sometimes women know what we don't know. And we need to allow them to be our helpmeet, like the Bible said. And again, in Genesis chapter 2 and 18, the Bible said, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make for him a helpmeet. Now, what does that mean? Well, help means something to help you, to assist you with. And a meet means that you'll come together with it. So a helpmeet to bring you two together. Now, I know what some are saying. Most of the stuff, preacher, I can do by myself. Well, that's not the point. The point is simply that God gave us a helpmeet. And if you're not married, then one day maybe you'll discover exactly what I'm talking about. And how many times, men, have we decided not to listen to her only to find out later on that she was so right. She was so right. I may as well admit that this lesson today is mostly about marriage, but we threw Jesus in there because Jesus is the central figure of the entire Bible, isn't he, church? So when the Lord said, I will make for him a helpmeet, then when he said, I would make for him a helpmeet, we must allow her to help him. We must allow her to help us, in other words. When you go to the Hebrew meaning of the word, it means helper. If God had made her to be a helpmeet, we may as well let her be our helpmeet. When she has become our wife, she becomes our helpmeet. And then sometimes we just don't like to admit that woman may have been a little bit smarter than we were. Sometimes we just don't like to give in and say, well, preacher, I could have thought about it myself. I just hadn't gotten around to it. Well, she came up with it, so give her the credit for it. And ladies, let me tell you something. When you become a helpmeet, be just that. Be a helpmeet. Now, if he's telling a lie, don't become a helpmeet in that. You know how some men will tell you, I did this and I did that, and then they'll look over at the wife and say, ain't that right, honey? Don't be a part of that. That's not being a helpmeet. I'm a firm believer that married folks should make a decision and set goals together. But in this text, Pilate was in the middle of making a decision that was contrary to the input from his wife or the input from his helpmeet. Watch the scripture again. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him. So that tells me his wife wasn't there by his side, but she sent unto him saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. I believe that she poured out the thoughts of her heart to her husband. Now we don't know. We don't know what kind of relationship Pilate had with Mrs. Pilate. We don't know if she was a raving beauty or if she was a nagging, pestering housewife. But what we do know by Scripture is that the Bible called her his wife, and that means he chose her in marriage, and it means that she should have an equal say in the union that they formed together, that they came together under. You know why I say that? Because in the book of Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreeing. In other words, if you are in a marriage, you ought to agree about something, not just something that pertains to things that are not even part of the marriage. We can agree on paying the bills. We can agree that you pay the light bill and I'll pay the gas bill. And then we'll split the phone bill and the water bill. Well, I'll just pay that. We can agree on that. But it's more than making financial decisions. It means that we have to come together on many issues and many things. And if you got kids, you got something else put into the mix. And I'm going to tell you a little secret that some of you may not know. If you've got older kids, they're still your kids, and they're going to fall back up on you from time to time. They never stop being your children. They'll send you a letter from across the country saying, "Mama, Daddy, I need some money." And they expect you to drop everything and send them the money. You have to make decisions together on things like that. And then when the Bible tells us that except we be agreed, how can two walk together? After saying that, all I'm saying is that Mrs. Pilate spoke from her heart because of a dream. Have nothing to do with that just man, she said. In her heart, Pilate's wife knew a truth. And she, being the good wife, wanted the best for her husband. She wanted to help him to come to a decision that was right for a righteous man. And then there are those who would say, "Well, preacher, I'm in charge of my wife." That may be so. The Bible gives you scripture saying the woman should submit herself to her husband. I understand all of that. But when you are wrong and she is right, what do you do then? There are many men who say, "No matter what I say, she has to abide by that." That ain't true. That's not true. You've got to be in righteousness if you expect your wife to abide by your decisions. Then, you know, all men, as men, we can learn from women. There are many things that men can learn from their wives. We find Bible scripture where women were used throughout the Bible. It was the women who went first to the tomb of Christ in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 1, if you don't believe me. Flip over to Matthew 28 and verse number 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." But then I want you to understand something. Look at verse number 7 where the Bible says this was the angel speaking. He said, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." So that tells me that the men were not there yet. The disciples were not there yet. So the women were. But isn't it true today that the women get to church most of the time first before the men? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the women who were told by the angels in verse number 7 and verse number 28 there to go and tell the disciples that he was risen. And I'm not going to even come in and tell you that don't mean that the ladies can bring messages to the church. That simply means they were given a message by the angels to deliver to the disciples. And church, I want you to understand something. When it comes to the matter of marriage, there is something that we all that are married need to understand, and that we are in this together. Isn't that right? It was a woman in whose house was used to pray for a preacher that he might get out of jail in Acts chapter 12. So I tell you, men, we can learn that the Word of God tells us also in Ephesians 5 and 25 that we must love our wives as Christ loved the church, and then he gave himself for the church. We can learn that when we are married, the Bible teaches us that we are to please our wives. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, around about verse number 33. Not please the world, but please our wives. Too many men have not followed their wives' advice, and too many times their decisions have turned out badly. Pilate decided his best course of action was there in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 21. Go back to Matthew 27 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "The governor answered and said unto him, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" In other words, he asked the question, who do you want me to release? And they said, "Barabbas." Now I tell you something. Can you imagine that courtroom or that judge's chambers or wherever they were at as Pilate was making a decision against what his wife had told him to do? Well, he did. And so they said, "Let Jesus be crucified." But I want you to notice something about Pilate. In a symbolic ritual, he declares in both word and deed his innocence of the blood of Jesus. He washes his hands of the matter. But I tell you what Pilate forgot. He forgot the fact that his wife may have known what he didn't know. And how many times must we choose to follow advice from men and over that of our wives, who are our helpmeets? He could have avoided the guilt of trying Jesus. No, he couldn't have stopped Jesus from being crucified, but he could have avoided the guilt of him being avoided of being a part of it if he had but listened to her. Most women, when they want to say something, they're going to get it in. They're going to find a way that you know what they're talking about. It may be very early in the morning or it may be late at night, but they're going to get what they have to say into you. Isn't that right, church? Pilate eventually found himself in hot water, ordered to stand trial before the emperor, and while in exile, he committed suicide. Now, we know nothing further about his wife, but one thing I do know, and that's back to Ephesians chapter number 5. Men, we must learn to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We are to love our wives as our own body. He that loveth his wife loves himself. Why? Because we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Well, I tell you something else. We can be sure of, church, that God one day is going to judge the righteous and the wicked, according to Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 17. Then according to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 1, "Judge not that you be judged." And even though Pilate sat in judgment over Jesus, one day that same Jesus shall judge him as well as all of us. How many times Pilate must have said to himself, "I should have heeded her message." How many times have we men made the excuse and lied and said, "I didn't hear you when you said that thing"? Or how many times have we said, "If I had thought of it myself, I would have done it. But since she thought of it, I can't do it. I didn't hear you say that, honey. I didn't know that's what you meant." I know what we as men, we just don't like for our wives to tell us what to do. We don't like for them to tell us what to do, but I got some news for you. You can go to hell by not being the right husband just as well as you can by being a liar. Isn't that right, church? This message is still the same, has the same theme, that of the Bible. And if the Bible says that a man is supposed to leave his parents and do what? Cleave to his wife. And I tell you today, there's not enough cleaving going on. What do you mean, preacher? Well, that means you left behind your parents, or you leave behind your parents, and you get next to your wife and you stay there. Oh, too many folk want to say, "Well, I just do this for a little while. And then after a while, I'm going to change because change is good." Well, in the case of marriage, change is not so good. Change is not good, for the Bible tells us that we must stay with our wives, to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And if you love something like Christ loved, you got an undying love and you will stay there. So I say to the women, I want you to be patient with us. Most of us will get where you want us to be. And to Christians, I said, stay with God. And sinners, I said, if you haven't gotten with God, you need to get with Him. We all know the rest of the story. Jesus was crucified, nailed to the cross between two criminals, died and was buried and raised up on the third day. And this is the gospel truth according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Stretched out on His cross of death so that we do not have to be stretched out under the bondage of sin. His death can bring new life to each and every one of us if we but just seek Him. All men can receive this gift if they but come to Him, just as well as all women. And I'll tell you something, church. When you get married, there are a few rules you must follow. The number one rule that you must follow is that this is not all by yourself situation. That's number one. Number two, you must come to some kind of understanding. You know what? One of the worst things in the world is when you all can't talk to each other. And I say you all, I'm counting me in this too. When you can't talk to each other. I've got a personal, a friend who I've experienced with him over the years. I watched him and his wife as they communicated to one another. They had about 6 kids, but I wonder to this day just how they did that. Biologically speaking, I know how it happened, but I don't understand how they communicated well enough for that, because every time they spoke to one another, it was with a snap. Then you must understand that once you have gotten this wife, let me see how much time I got before I get into all this. Once you have gotten this wife, once you have decided to make her your wife, there's something else you have to learn. She is not there just for your convenience and your pleasure. She is there for more than that. Oh yeah, that's part of it. Kid, you'll learn what I'm talking about eventually if you don't know. But she's there for more than that. She's there to help you make decisions and put things in their proper perspective. Then you must learn that how you must treat her. You know, I heard a preacher many years ago say that as married folk, one of the things we should do is we should make at least once a month, we should make a date with our wives. You should go on a date. Forget about the kids. I don't mean throw them away, but forget about them for one night out of the month and take her on a romantic date. You used to take her on a romantic date, didn't you? You promised her the moon before. You promised that if she married you, everything would be all right. But somewhere along the line, when the bills roll in and the kids start coming, you forgot about those promises. But you know what? Those promises should be just as valid today as they were back then. And I'll tell y'all something right now. I just celebrated an anniversary this past week. Sister Carter and I have been married for 45 years. And I want to tell you something. It wasn't easy all 45 of those years. It wasn't easy though all those 45 years, and I tell you what, life has gotten harder in the past 9 or 10 years even. But I'll tell you something, if I had to do it all over again, that same girl I met in high school, I would marry her all over again. And you know what? When I met her, she taught me about the church. That's why I say women know sometimes what we don't know. She taught me about the church. I didn't know about the Church of Christ. And her father, I may as well tell you this too, her father didn't like me. So sometimes you'll have to overcome some of those things. But if we go back to the text today and if we go back to the scripture, the Bible says that his wife sent him a message. And when she sent him that message, don't you think he should have at least taken heed to that message? He could have called a recess in the court and said, let's hold this matter for later. I'll come back. He should have went and discussed it with her, but he didn't.
He tried to do it by himself. How many times have we tried to do it by ourselves only to get into trouble? And then when we get into trouble, then we say, honey, I need your help. I need your help. But one thing I know, church, is that there's a helpline that's open to both husband and wife, husbands and wives. That's the helpline that you can call upon Jesus. You can call upon Him to help you out anytime you need to, because Jesus is always available. Now, will He always answer your prayer? I can't tell you that. But He'll hear your prayer, but He may not answer your prayer. At least not when you think He ought to answer your prayer. But one thing I do know above all else is that He is able. He is able to make the impossible become the possible. He is able to straighten out what's crooked in life. He is able to fix the mountain that you couldn't get over to become a small hill that you can climb to the top of. So when I go back to this whole text this morning, I see Jesus in that courtroom or in that room before Pilate or in that hall before Pilate. I see Him standing there as a man who has been betrayed by one of His own. I see Him as a man who was stuck there by Himself because all of His disciples had left Him. But you know something? He'll never leave us by ourselves. So this morning, the question becomes, how do I become a part of Jesus Christ? How do I become a part of the church of Christ? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But what if I've already done that? Well, like I always tell you, if you've already done that, you need to go back and examine yourself to see if everything is in order. And if everything is not in order, you ask the Lord to forgive you. And then you come forward, ask the church to pray for you that we may help you through our prayers, through the prayers of the righteous. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Now, I'm not saying everything that you ask Him for will be given unto you. But one thing I do know, that if you don't ask Him, you may not ever receive Him, what you're asking for, or what you want, rather. He